Mad Tower Radio.
Yo, 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 we're back once again. It's Mad Tower Radio, your favorite weekly podcast that is actually a bi-weekly podcast.
The weekly joke just gets better every time.
Oh, yeah. Well, Ryan's not here, so my name is Dan, and I am joined by my co-host Christian. Ryan's a little under the weather today. We didn't want to force him out of the cage to record, so it's just going to be us two goons today. Christian, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I was going to save this for a little bit later in the episode, but did you know this is a very special recording?
It is a very special recording. Yeah, it is.
I guess in many ways.
Maybe we're not even thinking the same way. But yeah, I just quit my job. You know, I just got out of the army, so this is now officially a veterans podcast. When you see me with the face cam on, I will only be wearing, you know, grunt style and like pit vipers and like drinking a Bud Light and an energy drink at the same time, because, you know, this podcast is for veterans now. Starting a t-shirt business. Sheesh. called Infantry Apparel, you know. It's gonna be sick. It's gonna be the new wave. But yeah, I was secretive about it. I didn't want to talk about it. Just, I don't know, you can get in trouble for that kind of stuff. And every day I walked into work, you know, the fucking Secretary of Defense, SecDef, was like, we gotta find these fucking Mad Tower Radio guys. You know? He was like, they're right. He's like, they're consistently right about everything they talk about every week, and I just want to know where this massive breach of security is coming from. And I was in the room just sweating the whole time.
They can't keep telling the truth to tens of people every couple weeks.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so I'm finished with that. I'm on vacation right now. You can expect this podcast to start going back to a weekly format. And that was really the main holdup, if I'm being 100% honest.
So, yeah, working sucks.
Don't expect any of that much more. But is that why you were saying this was a special episode?
Well, it's sort of related. I don't know if you are aware, but the official Mad Tower birthday is March the 15th. So this is the first episode of year 3. How does that feel?
That's pretty crazy. We don't even have like a year's worth of week-long episode. Like, we don't even have 52 episodes.
That's why it was so funny to hear weekly fucking podcast every single time. It's like we have 39, this is, and it's been like two years.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, for the third anniversary of the inception of Mad Tower Radio, we have a special little topic for you guys today. So, we each delved into a little bit of entertaining literature.
Christ.
Now, if you have never before seen an episode of Mad Tower Radio, we talk about all things within the realm of cryptids, conspiracies, ghost stories, horror, just pretty much anything a little scary we talk about on this show. But today, we're talking about something a little erotic, you know? something a little spicy. Now, I didn't know this, but there is a large category of literature about, you know, like 50 Shades of Grey, but with, like, Bigfoot.
And people just really want to fuck, like, beasts.
Dude. People are really down bad for things like, you know, the Dog Man, Bigfoot, aliens,
a centaur, like.
So, we each selected a book, and we're gonna do a little book report on it this week.
Jesus. You
know? And I'm gonna kick things off. I went ahead and decided to read "Alone with a Female Bigfoot."
Great. Yeah.
Now, It was pretty short, you know? And it wasn't like this was like the one night stand of like cryptid smut books, right? Because it wasn't very long, and you know, like they just kind of did the deed and then got over it, right?
Was there any romance?
I'd say maybe there was a little bit of romance.
Well, there was a little spark between this man and the female Bigfoot.
Is there a lot of romance in yours?
Oh yeah.
Oh, it's real romantic?
This was a whole ass real book. When you brought this topic up for me, I was like, well, one, why? What possessed you to like clout your way to get us to do a porn episode?
It would be funny, man. It was actually Ryan's idea.
It was his fucking idea? I thought it was you.
It was Ryan mentioned it offhandedly, and I was like, yo, we gotta fucking do that.
I thought you were like the degenerate who's just aching to do readings of like Bigfoot fucking, but okay.
No, man. I was just the one that made it happen.
Okay. So, you know? So one night with the lady Bigfoot, you said?
Yes, alone with a female Bigfoot, right? So, follows our protagonist, Mr. Tim Nelson, who swears that this story is true.
Of course.
Okay. Swears that the story is true. Right? And it takes place, it starts in San Clemente, California. No idea where that is, but our man Tim, he's only 25 years old. And he has a couple of buddies. His girlfriend, Karen. And then his friend, their couple friend, Adam and Michelle. Right, and you know what Adam and Tim like doing? 24/7, those dudes are in the gym just getting fucking yoked.
That rips. That's good. Okay, I already like this.
No, like, it's very, like, in the first, like, paragraph, like, this guy talks about, like, he's, like, humble bragging about
how much he's
like,
lifting.
Yeah. He's like, I just lift so much and my body looks so good right now, man. Like, I'm like fucking shredded, bro. Is like this... if I ever saw a female Bigfoot, bro, she would probably want to fuck me.
So it's an autobiography or like a self story?
No, it's a dude telling the story. This is Tim telling his story, his experience.
Oh, okay. It's like his own personal night. Gotcha.
Yeah. So Tim, Karen, and Adam and Michelle all go to, you know, a cabin out at Shaver Lake.
Sure.
I don't know if this place is real. But they go, and, you know, Tim and Adam are shooting the shit, just looking all fucking sexy and jacked on the patio, just talking. And they see a strange structure that was, like, built out of wood, or built out of sticks, something like the Blair Witch Project. And Tim's like, oh, you know, we should tell someone about this. And Adam's like, no, bro, because Michelle is freaked the fuck out by supernatural stuff. And I'm going to propose to her this weekend, bro. If we say anything about this, it's going to ruin the whole weekend.
Nothing spooky can happen.
And he's like, okay. And then the funny part is that as soon as they walked inside, with no outside information, totally unprompted, Michelle's like, did you see anything spooky out there?
Okay.
I'm like, yeah, all right. The writing, not great. You know?
It feels like Until Dawn.
Yeah, it's a little shitty. Your story sucked. I feel like I got gypped.
That's what I want. I want it to be shit.
I was like, dude, I hope this hot cryptid fucking story doesn't awaken something inside me, blah blah blah, and now I'm sitting here like, man, that shit ain't awakening nothing inside no one, bro. Cause this shit sucked. Okay. You know?
And so I want to get to the meat and potatoes, you know. I want to like
All right, so he goes to bed, right? And him and his girlfriend start getting a little hot and bothered, but they
aren't
able to do anything.
Boo, I don't want any like same species smut in this story.
He gets blue-balled because him and because Adam, and with his sexy bodybuilder body, is next door fucking his girlfriend, so they can't get over the sound, right? So our friend Tim just elects to go to bed with blue balls. right? So he does, and he wakes, he wakes up in the middle of the night, and hears something strange going on outside. Now, he doesn't call the cops because he doesn't want to ruin his buddy Adam's weekend, doesn't want to ruin the proposal.
Sure.
So he elects to go outside, and appealing to logic, he walks out to the edge of the yard, hears like some bushes crinkling around, and he's like, figuring it's just some homeless guy, he's like, hey man, you need to get the fuck out of here, like, or we're gonna call the cops, man, like, blah blah blah. And then he sees what appears to be a like 9 foot tall silhouette against the woods, right? Ooh. he gets a little freaked out, right? Until this silhouette steps into the moonlight, and he can see its hourglass figure.
Oh, he's like, oh no, whatever's out there, that's bad.
Ooh. Yeah, pretty much. He sees like a sexy silhouette of like a Bigfoot, and he's like, and I saw it staring back at me. Like, he was like, I immediately knew it was a Sasquatch, but it was looking back at me, and also it had huge tits. I'm like, what?
No.
Yes, dude.
Come on.
Yes, dude. He starts describing the Bigfoot, or the female Bigfoot's form, you know? And he says that, like, oh no, I can feel it staring back at me. What does it want? And actually,
you know what it wants.
Yeah, the Bigfoot turns out was staring at his fucking huge dick that was like poking through his boxer shorts, and just got completely, like, just insanely hard without him even noticing.
You know, when you're a hard body Chad like that, it just sort of happens. Yeah. You can't even tell.
No, for sure, man.
I'm being taken on a journey.
Dude, it's about to get even better, man. So okay. he's downstairs, right? You know, he's all shooken up about what happened last night. He's barely touching his food. He's still blue balled.
They just looked at each other. Nothing happened?
Yeah, they just looked at each other. He was like, oh no. And she ran.
She was like, nice cock, and then ran away.
Yeah. He was like, nice cock. So he goes. They go out for the day. They're hanging out, having another good time, and blah, 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 blah. And then, you know, come around, like, 6 p.m., Tim's girlfriend is like, oh, you know what? I'm just going to take a little nap. And then, you know, Michelle and fucking Chad Hardbody Adam, they went off to do their own thing, too. So it's just our boy Tim, right? All alone with his hard body, with his fucking sick pecs, you know? And he's like, well, you know what? I'm going to go for a walk, you know?
Oh, sure.
So he goes for a walk, right? And, you know, sun gets to going down, and he's out in the woods alone, and, you know, he's kind of hoping that it'll happen. He's kind of hoping he sees the Bigfoot again, the female Bigfoot. And she appears, you know? She appears, and she looks like just absolutely ready and willing, and she's just like fixated on his dong, you know. God. So he whips it out, right?
Naturally.
You know, like, he's like, you know, fuck it, man, I'm cheating on my girlfriend, I'm gonna lay pipe in this goddamn Bigfoot right now.
That's exactly what I'm trying to figure out. Like, does it go into the thought process this character is having, or
no, it doesn't talk about, like, he's not, oh, like, this, like, this is weird. He's not, like, having some grand sexual awakening. He just, like, you know, he got blue-balled, saw the Bigfoot, saw her big tits, and he was like, yeah, it's pound town.
Done deal.
Me.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, nothing crazy. Right? So, Bigfoot appears again. She's here, right? He's like, is this what you want? And she starts coming over. And she just starts, like, she just starts jacking him off, you know? Fucking.
I didn't think that would be, like, you know, the first choice for an animal. I thought they didn't need foreplay because it was all about, you know, biological reproduction.
She is out here for pleasure.
What a,
you know?
Fucking, what a good partner.
Yeah. Like, Bigfoot's out here to fuck, not reproduce.
That's a good distinction. Okay.
Yeah. So Bigfoot, you know, she starts playing with it. She puts it in her mouth, you know, and everybody's having a good time. And then our boy Tim starts to hear what sounds like, you know, dripping water, right?
No. Oh.
And he looked behind him, not behind him, but he looked over Bigfoot's shoulders, and he saw that she was ready to go. That's what the sound of the water was.
Jesus fuck.
Yeah, so he said he decided he'd have her from behind.
I'm gonna be denied a job because of what I'm putting on the air tonight. Someone's gonna see this in like some place of authority and be like, this dude isn't fucking qualified for whatever it is.
Dude, it's fine, bro.
Oh no, please go on.
We're just documenting facts here. That's all. So anyway, right? He decided he'd have her from behind, and he bent Bigfoot over a rock. And the weird part is, right, is that like he was like, yeah, dude, she was real thick, you know. Bigfoot had a fucking big old fat ass back there. It was nuts. But he used his hands. He like ran his hands through her ass fur that was so long that he was able to get two handfuls of it and use that as his fur. As his like grips, you know, as like stirrups.
I fucking hate this. Oh my god.
Yeah, man. Oh. And so then a male Bigfoot's roar.
Oh no.
Yeah, dude. And then, you know, female Bigfoot's body language changes and she's like, yo, we gotta get this. Like, she's like, we gotta get the show on the road. So not only is he out here cheating on his girlfriend, but Bigfoot is out here cheating on Manfoot.
Mr. Bigfoot. Okay. Yeah. What the fuck?
So we had a real fucking cryptid Ashley Madison affair right here. Yeah, I'm like, dude.
Cryptid Ashley Madison.
I'm like, why is everybody out here cheating? She's like, oh, you know what? I'm cheating and I'm going to do it with a human. And this guy's like, you know what? I'm a fuck Bigfoot.
There's implied world building here that I appreciate.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fucking crazy. So he as he's getting closer to finishing, the male Bigfoot is getting like closer, his screams are getting closer. And I shit you not, he pulls out, photo finishes right on female Bigfoot and just sprints, runs for the hill. As Mr. Bigfoot is pulling up, he is running out the door.
Like pants at the ankles, just like tag and bag, nut and run.
Yeah, the only thing he got out of there was with his pants. That's it.
My shirt behind. God.
Like fucking shoes left behind. Keys, wallet left behind.
Like, this author is playing to so many genres right now. They're working like the cuck angle. They're working like the paranormal angle. This is arising in quality every second I hear.
Yeah, oh yeah. It's crazy. It is,
Is that the end of the story? He gets away with a nut off?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the end.
Does he have any reflection on his experience? Like, what's the epilogue?
Yeah, he gets back to the cabin and everyone's like, Tim, what the fuck happened last night, bro? Like, are you okay? Like, blah, 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 blah. And he's just like, like, looks at the camera like it's the end of, like, a fucking movie you'd watch in middle school, you know? And he's like, I think everything's just fine. Like, only me and the audience know that I just fucked a Bigfoot.
Now, there's something I have to ask you. In regards to the erotic content of this story.
Yeah.
How was the writing for that part? It's an important part of these kinds of stories, as you know.
Oh, was it like, did it you know, was it horny? Did it
was
deliver?
It quality? Like how was the like writing a sex scene is a very, you know, delicate and
no. Well, there was a part where he said, quote, "and my cock got even harder and veinier."
Got it. Okay.
No, I don't know how your dick can get veinier. That, on the fly.
that was a perfect example of what I wanted to know. That told me everything.
Yeah, no, it was not horny and good. It was horny and bad. You know? Yeah.
Fuck. So are you a you don't have to give too much to the people at home, but are you a frequent shopper in this market?
Am I a smut reader?
You be reading a little?
You know.
I do now.
Yeah, I do now. I need to find something that's good.
Okay.
So, yeah, I can't give the genre an accurate judgment because I've only had the bad. Like 50 Shades of Grey might be nuts, dude. I might be missing the fuck out. You know?
I wouldn't hold hope on that one specifically, even though it is sort of...
Well, not that one, but you know what I mean.
In the realm of cryptid fantasy coming off of a vampire fanfic.
Yeah.
So, you know, it
well,
counts.
You know, I mean, maybe I just didn't read the right Sadie Meier book. This is by Sadie Meier and Tim Nelson, by the way. But Sadie Meier is the one who has all these fucking... crazy ass books.
Oh, does she have the genre on lock?
She has the genre on lock, man.
Let's take a look here. Let's see what Sadie Meier's got.
Sadie Meier, Seduced by Aliens, Dominated by the Dogman, Alone with yes. Bigfoot for Straits.
Sadie, jeez. this is the legacy you're gonna leave on this earth with the one life you have?
Yeah.
Writing all the alien sick. Kink books.
Oh, she only has four. I know there's more out there, though. I've seen them.
I like
yours
that.
Isn't by Sadie Meier, is it?
The Alone with the Bigfoot, like, het version's also there. Or, like, the male Bigfoot
gets his
revenge on his wife for cheating.
Yeah, dude. I hope that's the case, man.
You hope it's the same, like, family?
Yeah, I hope it's the same fucking Bigfoots, and he's out there. He's like, all right, fine. I'm gonna lay pipe with a human, you bitch.
He's like, you know... We had a discussion, me and Mrs. Bigfoot, and we're going to move into an open relationship.
I think we can make it work.
I think we have enough trust in each other, and I'm going to go fuck this mom at the Kmart.
Yeah. But, nice. You know, it sucked. Mine sucked.
It doesn't seem like it sucked. I'm pretty into it.
Well, I mean, I was laughing. I was having a good time, but, I mean, it didn't, you know, for functioning... For its intended use, it's not doing that.
I really didn't want to ask. Like, I didn't want to put this into the mic if it, like, you know.
Go ahead, say what you want.
In situations like this, I find it useful to go the most dry and technical way to try and take some of that power for it. Did you experience any arousal from the reading of this book?
Did I get a boner? No.
Yeah.
No, I did not get a boner.
There's different gradients to that. Colored,
hearing about Bigfoot's cinnamon colored tits, you know.
Okay, that's all I needed to know.
Yeah, like not even like really
even like a glimmer.
Did, all he did was throw a hook in the water with no bait. All hook, no bait.
Are there any...
It was it, like he starts. He's like, "She stepped into the moonlight, and I saw her cinnamon-colored tits." And I'm like, "Okay, what's about to happen here?"
Okay.
And it was like, "It was Bigfoot." And I'm like, "And?" And he's like, "And I went home, blue ball." I'm like, "Okay."
Does this man not understand that there's a very patented and like successful way to get rid of blue balls?
He said it ain't gonna do itself. He said either my girlfriend or this female Bigfoot is getting this nut.
He's too shy to, like,
or Adam,
jack one off into the fucking, like, cabin bathroom. He's too good for that.
Man. If that was me, you know I'd be jacking off in that cabin bathroom every day.
Thanks.
Anyways, let's move on. Let's move on. Christian, I'm excited to hear about your book.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I hope it clicks on. If this is your first episode, they're all like this. Don't worry.
So you know what else is special about this episode that I just realized? One of the first things Christian and I did hanging out back when we were just kids was read some free demon smut porn book from Kindle.
Remember this? Yeah, I brought that up. I couldn't remember the name, but I like vaguely mentioned it in one episode.
Yeah. That it was like, oh yeah, these two demons were making out, and his eyes turned into dicks, and her eyes turned into vaginas, and they started skull fucking.
Yep, that was the classic classic line.
What is going on right now?
I was like on Kindle, and there was a free book. And it was trying to be this, like, Silmarillion-esque, like, world-building mythology story, but it was, like, hell demons fucking to create the universe, and it was amazing.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty crazy.
In that vein, actually, I was trying to find that exact book for this episode.
Really?
But I couldn't find it. But in my searches, though, I found the Demonica series.
Okay.
By Larissa Ioni.
Oh.
This is a 5-book New York Times best-selling series. Or author.
So you read a real book.
I read a published novel, which I thought was the parameters.
I'm just out here reading, you know, like, this is like one step up from Wattpad fiction. You know?
No, I thought we were going legit.
It's legit enough for me.
I mean, if it's a paperback romance, you'd find at like a CVS is just as good. I would agree. So
see, it's weird because reading smut, like, which one should I be reading? Should I be reading stuff that's the perspective of the girl, or stuff that's the perspective of the guy?
That's an interesting question.
Exactly.
But no matter what, it's always you want to be on the perspective of the human?
Oh, well, yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't know.
You don't want to read about, like, the gray that gets his nut off? Like, he flies to Earth for...
I would read about the gray that got his nut. That would be funny.
Well, the reason I bring that up is because mine is from the point of view of the creature. So we got a little contrast going on.
Okay. Is there just like day in the life of a succubus? What's it called?
You know what?
Demonica?
It's called Pleasure Unbound from the Demonica series. And it's interesting that you say succubus, because it's actually an incubus.
It's a dude?
It's a dude.
Nice.
So we begin our story. It's framed, first off, as like this whole extensive world building. Like, you know a book's going to be too goddamn much when the first page is a glossary of terms, and it's like giving you all the factions and all the fucking words you need to know.
Yeah, you're asking me to buy into a lot if that's like... If I open up page one and it's, like, anything more than a map, you know? Like, if it's a map, I'm like, okay, cool.
A map's classy. I like that.
A map is classy. Puts me in the world. But if it's like, oh, yeah, you know, this is, like, yeah, they're going to say they're going to the Gushka, and, like, that actually means church in their weirdo language. And it's like, yeah, I don't care.
Exactly. So I open the first page, and it's like... You have to know who the Aegis are, and who the Council are, and who the Dresden and the Guardians.
Shut the fuck up.
And the Meliconichios. And I'm like, I don't give a shit about all these dudes. And I just thought I was getting a smut book. I looked on my city's free public library app for, you know, erotic books, and this was for free and ready for me to download. Yeah. So I was like, thank you for providing that to me. This is the one I'm going to read. And it starts off with a pretty, you know, complex world building. It's a world in which demons and vampires and werewolves are all roaming the streets.
Okay, you know, like that werewolf's got a 401k.
Like they are just inhabitants of society, like Bright, kinda.
Okay.
Is that what that show was called?
Yeah, yeah.
Or like Wolf of Wall Street, Wolf Among Us?
Yeah. I know what you're saying.
Or have you read the Cassandra Clare, His Dark Material? Is that what that... No, fuck, that's the wrong one. The Mortal Instruments, that's it. Have you read the Mortal Instruments books?
No. The last two books I read, and I can remember them vividly. The last two books I read were House of Leaves and The Outsiders in 7th grade.
And nothing in between?
Nothing in between.
See, you're telling me you received your entire high school education without reading a book?
I mean, I personally didn't read them.
Okay. Sure.
They got summed up for me.
You're calling yourself out in front of Mr. fucking Johnson.
If Mr. Johnson's listening to this podcast, bro, I'll fucking eat my shoe.
So what the fuck am I talking about? Immortal Instruments.
You're talking about something, man.
Yeah, so the Mortal Instruments series is a YA fiction. It's slightly erotic, and it's the same thing like angelic forces versus the demons, and it's always like this gritty New York. The
demons are so fucking hot, bro.
Exactly.
Like, they're so shredded.
And they all take place in New York, and there's always like an underground where the demons live, and the humans just barely don't percept them. Shit like that.
Yeah.
And that book had a profound effect on me. Not because of the, like, because I was a young man reading YA fiction, but the main point, like the main conflict of that plot, is this dude is like part angel. And he really, really, really wants to fuck his sister.
No way.
Like, the lady becomes, like, aware of the mystical world, and she had never known it existed before, and she accidentally stumbles into this really hot angel who's a demon hunter, and they're like, there's a spark, there's a chemistry between them, and they find out they're brother and sister.
No!
And a 3-arc story is, like, him being like, fuck, I really, really, really want to fuck my sister.
That's awful.
And oh Lord, they go to the Holy Land and God's like, it's okay, y'all aren't really brother and sister, you can fuck.
No.
Let there be. It's awesome. Horrible. Awesome book series.
Oh my God. That's what got you into this.
I only brought that up, one, because I wanted to tell you about the dude who wants to fuck his sister. But it's a very similar world-building tactic. I feel like it's very generic, like, demons are real.
It's like Supernatural. Fucking, you know, Mortal Instruments, fucking Percy Jackson, fucking... There's a million
just under the surface. Sure. So, in this world, underneath New York City, there is... a demon hospital, right?
Okay.
And this group of demons and werewolves and other, you know, nocturnal night folk have decided they're going to be, like, a good influence on demon society, and that they're going to, like, heal the demons that get hurt and, you know, provide a service. And our lead, the incubus named Eidolon.
Oh, bro. Spelled how, like the D&D class?
Like Eidolon, yeah.
Alright.
Is, like, a high-level surgeon. He might run the place, he might be, like, the boss, but he's, like, a high-level staff on this hospital.
Okay.
And it starts off by talking about how, in this world, incubuses go through a couple of phases of sexual maturity, let's say.
Oh.
And they start off, you know, they're really horny, they're sleeping with a bunch of, you know, people, and they eventually come to a point where they need to mate. They have to, like, start birthing.
The two demons.
Yes.
Okay.
Because if they don't get their nuts off and find, like, their life partner, they go into, like, a lust rage and they lose all control and they become, unfortunately, like, demons.
If we don't fuck, I'm gonna become a fuck monster.
That's exactly, like, the moral panic of this story, is he's like, oh, I gotta settle down, I gotta find the right girl demon, because if I don't, I'm gonna lose control of my body, and, like, the lust is gonna overcome me, and I'm gonna become a sexual assault monster.
That's so dumb.
Which is horrendous, like, weird thing to do at the start. They go into a ton of detail about the different kinds of demons, just the whole, like, genus, species, like, sub... dividing, like, there's high class, like, incubus demons, there's low class demons, there's a huge whole
does this ever come up again, or, like, was it necessary to the lore, or could they have just been like, yeah, there's demons that have a hospital underneath New York?
It's like where the central plot takes place. It's like everything about it is Eidolon's, like, life and journey through his, like, sexual growth. But he's like, oh, because, like, a certain demon will come into the hospital and he'll think, oh, you know, I would never want to, like, mate with one of those kinds of demons. Like, that wouldn't be right to settle down with.
Oh, racism.
Or, like, oh, this one would be a good one. Yeah, she's like, these are the kinds of demons I want to mate with. They'll make strong babies.
Wow.
He himself was, like, a well-bred incubus, apparently.
That apparently went to John St. Hopkins, too.
Yeah, exactly. Or, like, there's a certain, I think, stigma against demons mating with a vampire. Like, that's a little, no, not cool.
All right.
But anyway,
can you life partner with a vampire? Will that sate the sexual urges?
No, I think he's got to be with a demon, I think is what he wants.
Okay.
And anyway, he's, like, operating on these people. His surgeon assistant's a werewolf who's a dick. And a vampire. There's a vampire there, too. And they're always doing these things where he's like, I told you, you can't taste the operators. You gotta stop licking them and, like, tasting their blood.
Sounds like fucking, like, Scrubs. Supernatural had a baby.
It's exactly like that, actually. That's a very, very good observation. And so eventually, they begin talking about these angels who are demon hunters in New York City, and they keep bringing in, like, demons who are getting torn the fuck up because these angels are beating them up.
That's how they handle it, you know?
Or I think they're angels. They're, like, angel-affiliated. They might not be actual angels, but, like, they're like, right. Oh, it's not safe to go out. Like, the angel demon hunters are out there, and we have to keep, like, repairing our people. Because of them.
They just rove the street like fucking, like, gang members. Just beating, like, the shit out of demons.
It's like fucking those bad underworld movies.
Yeah.
And yeah, like the demons are from, like, the deep under earth astral, like, interior underworld, and they use the Harrow gates to come up to the surface.
Oh god.
There's all that kind of shit. And so the operative day comes, right?
Uh-huh.
And the man, Eidolon, is working, and the red light flashes, and the, like, problem, or the emergency sirens go out, and it turns out a demon hunter is brought into the hospital and needs emergency surgery, or they'll die.
Oh, no.
And Eidolon has this big moral dilemma. He's like, I would help anybody, you know, Hippocratic oath
and all of that.
Exactly.
So,
what's up?
Real quick, some nice trivia for you about the Hippocratic Oath. My wife said that it means literally nothing. I'm like, what's the point of taking an oath if you don't have to adhere to it? She's like, yep, it just does not mean a single thing. You are fine. You can say that shit as much as you want. You don't got to do anything. I'm like, are you serious?
This is, you know, the Hippocratic Oath thing, but it's like the demon version. He's like, I want to be the one good demon who doesn't, like, turn the world into shit.
Honestly, I feel like that's a cliche for demons.
Like, to want to be the good one?
Yeah. Like, in real life, it's like, yeah, bro, sure. Everybody wants to be the good guy demon.
And Oh, I didn't mention this part. It's an important part of the world building. Unfortunately, if these incubuses do not, you know, mate, like, it's not they have to lay down and marry someone. They have to impregnate someone to get over this.
Oh, wow. All right. That's a little fucked up.
It's a lot. I was like, I'm reading this on the bus. Like, I don't want someone to, like, look over my shoulder and see me reading, like, the horrible sexual assault fantasy demon novel.
Yeah, that'd be a little weird.
Like, lose my fucking, like, job. But, anyway, the Aegis Guardian, which is what the fucking demon hunters are called, comes in, and her name's, Tayla Mancuso. And the first things he mentions is, like, she's really fucking hot.
Oh my god.
Like, it's crazy that she's in this tight red leather demon hunting suit. And, like, they cut away the leather, and she's got black lacy panties on.
Oh, man. This girl's just dressed like a whole Victoria's Secret fucking model while she's, like, out doing a functional job.
Well, they... She says later that she wears the red leather because it hides the blood.
Sure.
So she's got to dress like, you know, a Final Fantasy RP.
Yeah, girl, you ain't got to... You don't gotta make excuses for me. You wanna dress like a fucking MMO character? Dress like an MMO character.
But she's a certified, like, demon hunter, right?
Yeah.
And the sort of whole hospital has, like, a conference, and they're like, we cannot heal this woman. She's either going to, one, wake up and kill us all when, like, we heal her, or two, she's gonna narc on us and tell everyone where the hospital is. And, quote, one sec, I have it highlighted, she's gonna leave the hospital and go Bin Laden on this building. I was like, girl, what are you putting in this book?
What an animal.
I have so many quotes from this goddamn book. This lady is a very creative writer, let's say.
Yeah.
She's very inspired.
Oh my god. Like, that's awesome. Like,
Her partner is also brought in together, like it's a double thing, but the partner died, right? And they describe the body as stench like a rotting bacon and licorice filled small space. She writes like a psychopath.
She writes like this is gonna sound really mean, but she writes like it sounds like a 14-year-old girl or boy who thinks that they know what edgy, badass, and cool dark fantasy stuff is.
Exactly.
And then they just write this, like, I wear the tight, sexy red leather because it helps hide the blood. What?
Like, if you're gonna go for it, I think you either have to have, like, make fun of it a little bit.
You have to go all the way.
Yeah.
You know, like, you gotta go all the way in. Like, fucking Devil May Cry.
Like, Blade.
Yeah, Blade.
You
can do this supernatural shit that exists in the real world without anybody knowing, but you gotta go crazy. You gotta go stupid when you fucking do something like that. Like, Blade is the perfect example.
They, you know, get her out of her lacy black panties, and they begin to operate on her and, like, bring her body back together.
Yeah.
And they begin to notice that, like, her, she's, like, recovering weirdly. Like, she's starting to heal herself.
Okay.
Internally. And they're like, this lady should be, like, a bowl of spaghetti on the inside, and she's looks relatively okay. Like, she's gonna get out of this.
Are they, like... weird, kind of like in Twilight? Like, is there anything weird like that? How they're, like, made of, like, crystal glass instead of actual, like, flesh or something?
I mean, it's all pretty organic.
Okay.
If that's what you're saying.
Okay. I just figured that'd be the perfect spot for something like, oh yeah, they, like, demon hunters bleed crystals or some shit.
The weird thing about her is that they begin to, like, operate on her, and they find she has semi-demon organs.
Oh.
And that, like, she has demonic, like, half body. So they begin to sort of surmise that she's actually a half demon.
Ooh.
half demon, you know, angel demon hunter, you know, mix between the two worlds type shit.
That's always where it goes in these settings, man.
Exactly.
Show me one YA fucking supernatural stuff in the real world thing that doesn't go to, like, the one thing where it's like, oh, and in this world, demons and angels hate each other. Now meet our main character, who's half demon, half angel.
It's the quick, easy, you know.
Yeah.
The quick, easy answer.
Fish out of water kind of thing.
Yeah, the doesn't fit in either world type thing. So they heal her. Right. Okay. They get her back up and running. And the entire time Eidolon's like working on her, he's like, I desperately need to fuck this woman. She is my patient, but this is gonna happen.
That's what he's concerned about. He's like, I can't do it because she's my patient. He's not like, I can't do it because she is a demon hunter, and when she wakes up we're fucked.
It's a lot of struggling between, like, well, she is part demon, you know, but also she's like working with the angels and all, you know.
Yeah.
And all the time this is happening, like, she spends a lot of time in recovery, right?
Uh-huh.
So it's him, like, agonizing over the decision. He's like, I'm getting really fucking horny. Like, I can hear the vampire and the other demon fucking in the hotel or the hospital closet over there, and it's really getting me on edge. Like a detect magic, incubuses can detect if sex is happening within 30 feet of them.
That's so stupid. They would have a dumbass fucking power like that. Oh my god.
This book is so full of that shit. Like, crazy world building.
30 feet.
Detect fucking.
Oh my god.
So, I'm gonna read you the first paragraph of chapter 2.
Ready? Let's hear it. I'm dying.
Okay, honestly, this book kind of ripping the more that I'm getting into it. So, chapter 2. Someone was having sex nearby. Eidolon could feel it, smell it. The ability was part of his breed's gift. Any seminous demon within 30 yards would sense the same thing. As he walked, the scent of arousal grew stronger, making his body tighten and his balls throb.
Man.
At any given time, someone was screwing in the hospital, usually Wraith, but this time, he scented only a female.
Is Wraith his buddy, and is that his name?
Wraith's his buddy, yeah. Like, everyone in the hospital has a fucking badass shitter name.
Why would his name be Wraith? I would think that would be, like, someone's race.
Yeah, like, it defies, you know, logic or convention. Fuck it. Dude's name is Wraith.
Fuck it, man. Dude's name is Wraith.
And his two Incubus brothers are also big in the plot, and, like, them also finding their, like, sexual awakening and shit.
Well, I guess have the same questions for you, then. Did it do the trick?
I was sort of feeling it at some point. I was like, this is kind of nice.
Yeah, was it, like... Because it was, like, romance, you know, that was, like, built up between two characters, not just, like, literal one-night stand with a Bigfoot in the woods?
Well, they spent a lot of time about, like, their relationship, and they, as soon as she wakes up, they fuck. Like, immediately, like, on site.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But she thinks it's a dream.
Oh.
Like, she's talking about it. She's like, I'm clearly in a dream right now. This is a demon with a demon cock, like, fucking me hard. Like, this, damn, it cannot be real.
Sounds like our boy Eidolon's already a monster.
It sounds like he's kind of a piece of shit. And, like, this is another weird part. Fucking I think it was his brother has the ability to give sex dreams.
Oh.
Like, wet dream innator.
Wow, that's a pretty sweet power.
He's like, I hate to say it, but he was like warming her up while she was recovering in her sleep.
And Eidolon just asked his brother?
No, his brother was like, stop it. But he was like, no, it gets me off to see, like, someone having a wet dream.
Oh my god.
And so when she wakes up and they get hot and heavy, like, the relationship begins to form, and they're like, oh, actually, I can't be with you. I have, like, sexual intimacy problems, but actually we're going to fucking become best friends.
I have sexual intimacy problems. Never mind the whole, like, you know, race war between our people. But I have intimacy issues.
There's like a conspiracy backstory. Like, someone's betraying the demons type shit. Like, there's the whole plot. But it's really about these two, like, deciding to come together. And, like, a very lightly touched, like, this lady has problems with intimacy, but she finds Eidolon to be a cool guy.
Okay.
Right, so... over the course of the story, their bond gets closer. They do, like, the bond, like, the capital B bond with him, the incubus.
Oh, like the, save me from being a sex monster?
Yeah, you're gonna be the one, okay. Right?
Is it cute, though? Like, is their romance be cute?
She gets, like, have you played Devil May Cry games?
No.
Do you know what a devil trigger is?
I've heard the name.
She gets like a devil trigger. She gets to be like become a like super form. She gets the soul shredder form.
Oh my god.
It's called the soul shredder.
Soul shredder.
And that rips. That kicks ass. Like, sorry, that's too damn cool.
Oh my god.
And they solve the mystery of like who's extracting these organs from the demons to sell them on the organ black market for demons, right?
Yeah, yeah.
She, over the course, like, she bonds with the demons, becomes, like, the half-demon soul shredder.
What's this character's name?
Taya? I think. Taya?
Taya?
The girl? The female lead?
Okay. I'm just seeing if there's any fan art.
Just trying to see if there's a little fan art. Yeah, Taya.
Taya.
Yeah.
Alright.
And they sometimes go into her point of view, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's not just Eidolon, but it starts all with Eidolon.
Okay.
I shit you not, at the end of the book, she has this monologue where she's like, you know, I've never done it, but like, I wonder if when me and Eidolon are having sex, if I go into the soul shredder mode, will that kick ass?
Oh my god, bro.
Like, will that rock?
She wants to have sex in the soul shredder mode. Like,
she wants to hit the fucking devil trigger sex down.
What does she do in her soul shredder mode?
Like, it's enhanced abilities, like it's like a Super Saiyan form, right?
Yeah. Okay.
And so, there's, mind you, 5 stories in this series.
Yeah.
I don't know where the fuck the plot's gonna be dragged along for 4 more books.
Well, apparently this world has a wiki, and I'm on it right now.
Oh, you got some intel for me?
Yeah.
Alright, lay it down. What do you got?
Settings and location, organizations. No, it doesn't have a plot synopsis on here. It talks about the Aegis, though. It talks about the Sigil, the Council, sure. The Vampire Council, the Warg Council, and the Melaconcio?
Yep. Those all are words that make sense to me.
The There's UN of the lore. Demon World. Alright.
Cool.
Followed by Desire Unchained. What happens in Desire Unchained? Previously named Shadow Lover.
Yes.
Jesus. Yeah, nothing. Nothing that has to do with Eidolon. So that's it. But Taya's in it. Taya and Eidolon do appear in this book.
Oh.
So.
Okay.
But yeah, it has a wiki. So. That's cool.
Oh god, I'm in the wiki now. I'm looking at too many things. I'm not doing this.
Are you getting spoiled?
I got fucking spoiled just now.
What happened?
there's a kid. They have a kid. God damn it.
Well.
Oh my. I don't want to read this on air. This is horrible and vulgar.
Heinous? Let's hear it.
I'm not going to read this, bro.
Come on, though.
Since the gem contained more. No, this is horrible. No, this is like, let's just say this book very untastefully digs deeper into the sexual assault backstories of some of these demons.
Okay.
That's crazy. Why is she going so far into that part?
Yeah, she's wild.
But overall, it was weird. It was a weird read. They do a lot of world building, a lot of like character work that was sometimes successful. But as you could tell from some of the snippets, the writing is like fan fiction level.
Right.
And that being said, I can't wait to see what happens next. Eagerly awaiting, what did you say the next one was? Pleasure Unchained?
Sure.
Sure.
I'm on Taylor's wiki page. Species, half human, half soul shredder.
Oh. Okay.
You know what they named their son?
Isn't it Gem?
Saber.
Like your fucking dog's name is Saber?
Yeah, like my dog's name is Saber.
Saber's gonna go soul shredder mode.
Oh my god.
Oh my fuck. Okay. So there's something to be had here. All five of them are available on the free public library.
Yo, Taylor has a tramp stamp.
Is it the fucking catechist?
Yes.
Yep, that's the final the final page is her showing off her new catechist tattoo to Eidolon.
What the fuck? That's like if she went out and like got like Eidolon's property. Like, this is Eidolon's ass as a tramp stamp. That's a little fricked.
She texts him at the end. The final page is like her using like her soul shredder beast form to get home as fast as she can, because she texted Eidolon that he better be wearing the scrubs in bed when she gets home.
Yeah, she big on the doctor thing?
Yeah. She's super big on it, and she's like, look at this tattoo on my ass. And then they bone.
Well, was it getting you hot and bothered on the bus?
For like a quarter of a second, for maybe just a fraction of a moment, in the first maybe 40 pages, let's say perhaps, hypothetically speaking, a little bit of blood got moving.
You were rubbing one out to the fucking... Pleasure Unbound?
I didn't say that.
Okay.
All I said is neurons were activated. That's all I'm going to put.
Okay. You know, we'll have to have Ryan give us a brief synopsis on what his book was next week, but I mean, that's pretty much all I have to say. I'm ready to put a fork in the world of cryptid smut, supernatural smut.
But I want to wrap it back around. The best part, Larissa was in the Air Force.
Oh.
Our author, also a vet.
Thank God for her, man. Those are the real heroes.
So, there you go.
Well, you know, thank you everybody for tuning in to this very special episode of your favorite veteran-hosted podcast, Mad Tower Radio. My name is Dan, and I have been joined by my co-host Christian to talk to you about the world of cryptid smut. We hope you enjoyed. If this is your first time listening, go ahead and check out some of our older episodes. They're always a good time. If you're listening on YouTube, go ahead and hit subscribe. If you're listening on Spotify, why don't you rate us 5 stars, and we will see you next week. This has been Mad Tower Radio, ending transmission.
A frequency beyond space and time.
Unspeakable knowledge. It is Mad Tower Radio.